All right, this is Wednesday, March 25th, 2020. We are on the Enriching Gifts Education call. We have our host, Mr. Ronald K. Schneider, joining us to educate us and enlighten us on whatever the topic is of the evening. So without further ado, I just want to bring out our leader, Ron, and just say thank you for, again, Ron, for all that you do. And please don't ever, 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 ever change from being true to what your calling is. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ron Schneider, welcome to the call, brother.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much, Dober. And I'd also personally like to welcome each and every one of you that taking time out of your life each and every week to come on to these calls. Like I say repeatedly, week after week, year after year, decade after decade, it's people that come on these calls and people that I interact with my daily life that gives my life purpose. So I want to say thank you to each and every one of you that come on these calls each week and give my life purpose for this hour that we're spending together. So I didn't really have a lot. I really want to kind of go back to the old roots of what this call was really intended for. It's an educational health call. And again, I know that I'm not sure how many new people we have on the line tonight. Nobody that I heard that came on is brand new. But I don't like to spend all my time talking about my background, my accolades, and all those kind of things, because I know people are on the line. They've usually been on here for decades now. So, but I do want to – it is important to kind of keep the hysteria tamped down about this whole coronavirus stuff. And so I want to talk a little bit more about what a coronavirus actually is and kind of bring you up to date on some of the real clear statistics. In fact, I was just sharing with Dover before I came on the call tonight, and I'm still watching on national television President Trump bringing the country up to speed on what's going on with the different cities that are locked down, him wanting to get this all behind us and get it going by Easter and all that kind of stuff. And I see there's about 10, 11 different states that are hot spots now. So that's going to kind of dictate the course in which they take over the next month in order to get the economy open and most states back open. And then they'll have to deal with the five, six, seven states that they've deemed emergency and high hotspots. So anyway, so the first thing I want to talk about is the actual virus itself, because so many people are still freaked out about this thing. And I'm not going to get political on anybody, and I'm not going to get Democratic, Republican, Independent, none of that. There's no reason. It's all nonsense. But I'm going to tell you something. Here's some facts. And if anybody doesn't believe me, go to the CDC, go to the Institutes of Health, and go to the World Health Organization. You can find these statistics. I found them for the last 10 years. And for the last 10 years, on average, 48,972 people have lost their life every single year in America alone. These are deaths. These are not afflicted with the flu or the influenza virus. That goes into the tens of millions just in America alone. So I want to put this whole hysteria thing into real perspective, and then I want each one of you to use just a little bit of your own God-given common sense. And this whole thing that's going on right now will tell you it has nothing to do with the coronavirus. Because 48,972 people on average for the last decade die every single year in America. As of this afternoon, 552 people have passed away in America from the coronavirus. Just let me repeat the numbers. 48,972 versus 552. So we got about 48,400 people to go to die yet before we're even close to the average for the last decade of influenza. So this really isn't about the coronavirus. This is a engineering project by the United Nations. It's Trump's opportunity to get China to their knees, to get them to the negotiation table for a new trade deal. It's a whole bunch of other stuff, and I don't want to get into it. But I'm just telling you, do not be hysterical. Do not be afraid. You are talking with a mind that has tremendous common sense and calm about this whole thing. And don't be rushing out getting the next vaccine for the coronavirus, let alone the annual flu. I've never had a shot. I don't advocate shots. Build your immune system. Your immune system is each and every one of us as saviors. That is God's gift to each and every one of us the day we're born. Your immune system has the ability to not only prevent, but destroy anything and everything inside the human body that is potentially going to damage us or is harming us. Cancer, AIDS, HIV, Ebola, Corona, all of it can be destroyed and alleviated from the human body. We know this because people have done it by the hundreds of thousands. Even the coronavirus. We know this, that there's over 78,000 people been affected in America, or I'm sorry, let me correct that, 330-some thousand people worldwide, 78,000 people in America, okay? So those are the people that have been affected. And there's over 78% of every single person that's been diagnosed with having coronavirus has actually recovered fully, 100%. There's no vaccine on the market today. There's no effective treatment being done right now. They came out 2 days ago with a mixture of a couple of things used for malaria. It shows some promise. But right now, there's people surviving this. And how did they survive? Because their immune system developed antibodies to cure themselves. You don't need medications and drugs and these vaccines and all this other stuff. Don't believe me? Let me back up just here. Let's go back about 4 or 5 years ago when Ebola came to our shores and our country. And look at all the mass death that was going on over in Sierra Leone and different parts of Africa from Ebola. And to this day, they still don't have a vaccination for Ebola. But let's go back and review the facts. There was an African-American doctor that came from Sierra Leone, Africa, to America. He was infected with Ebola, and he died 48 hours after he got here, 2 days. That's a fact. Don't believe me? Go back to any news network. Look it up. And then within 2 weeks after he came here, we also had a nurse fan, a Vietnamese nurse, all over national television. She was in critical care. The media just took it up, just like they are with coronavirus. You couldn't even turn on TV without seeing nurse fan in their ICU unit and all the hazmat suits and the doctors. And then the nurse from New York came back. She was tested positive for Ebola, but she didn't have real bad symptoms and stuff, so she was quarantined in her house in New York. And then the doctor came back, the male doctor, 2 weeks after the first one died. He came back, and he was severely affected he was actually hospitalized. But it didn't even take him 4 days, and his body developed antibodies that totally got rid of and destroyed the virus of the Ebola. And so do you know what they did for the treatment and the cure of Ebola? For every single patient in the United States, and there really weren't that many, I think there was only like 12 or 13, they took the antibodies and strained them out of the plasma from the guy, the doctor, that came and cured himself. They used that guy's antibodies, which were produced by that guy's immune system, and injected him into Nurse Fan. Within 3 days, she was out of ICU, and within 5 days, she was out of the hospital, completely cured of Ebola. And they did the exact same thing. They used the male doctor's antibodies, injected him in a nurse in New York, and within 48 hours, she had no symptoms and no traces of the Ebola virus. And they started using these people's antibodies now. Now you're not getting them from one source. Now you're getting them from three. And then you just go on, and that took care of the 12 or 13 people, whatever it was. I mean, it was way below 15 people. I do remember that. And it never became the pandemic and the hysteria that the media tried to make it out to be. It never, ever did. And it was only hysteria up until everybody was coming and, oh, my gosh, the sky is falling, nurse fans in ICU, a plaster, that's all you saw on TV all day long. This is no different. This whole coronavirus crap. And let me just say, it is a tragedy to lose one person to the death, to any kind of a flu or cold or any kind of a disease or illness. It is sad. But that's the facts of life. Everybody is going to die sooner or later. And you're going to die of something. Healthy people just don't up and die for no reason at all. So you're going to die from something. But I'm telling you, the best way that you can live the best possible life, given the genetics that God gave each and every one of us, good, poor, or indifferent, is to strengthen the immune system. Build up the immune system to what I call a Hercules immune system. Nothing is going to sit there and stand up to it. Nothing's going to even be around the environment of that giant that's standing there waiting to devour you if you happen to be a bad guy coming into the human body. And we can do this. This is possible today. I'm not talking pie in the sky crap for 2, 3, 5, 10 years down the road. Let's develop something. It's already here. It's been here for over 20 years. It's been here since 1994. And I know because I took it back from South Africa when I came and did all that AIDS work over there and cancers research studies and things like that. I had a great, great ability to actually work with some of the top-notch scientists in the world. Professor Pagel, he works as the applied chemistry professor over in the Natal Medical Center just outside of Durban, South Africa. And Patrick Buick, who's just down the river. You go on Addington Beach in Durban, and you can literally see Cape Town, South Africa, all the way down the beach. And he was at Stellenbosch University, which is in Cape Town. I work with these people, and I didn't discover this. Professor Pagel discovered glucosides and sterols for immune modulators and proliferation factors of immune cells. And I'll get into the terminology so everybody's not confused about what I'm talking about. But I'm just saying this stuff has been around for 20 years. The cure for the common cold. You know, they say there's no cure for anything. Well, let me tell you, there's not a scientist or a nurse or a doctor with any credibility whatsoever behind their brains can stand up to me and say any differently than there's one single thing that will cure everything known to mankind. Because if you can't cure it and alleviate it, then how did we survive as a human species from caveman to now, millions of years? The human immune system. A balanced, unimpeded, unimpaired functioning immune system has the capability of not only destroying everything that comes in your body, but you can actually use that to prevent any kind of deterioration to your cell structure, damage to the DNA, or any disease or illness that you would come in contact with. But you have to have the ability to have a strong immune system. And that's why I chose to focus immunoenzymology. I'm a scientist that researches all the enzymes that run and regulate the human immune system cell functioning. And through working with not only Professor Pagel, but Professor Malky over in Germany, I mean, there's the Michelle Muniz down in Australia. I've worked all over the world with a whole bunch of different scientists and medical people. But the one thing that I got back from Africa of all the different countries that I worked for over there, and by the way, one thing else I was reminded of here just in a conversation yesterday, Enriching Gifts products are registered in the continent of Africa as a drug. So our Enriching Gifts products are registered in Africa as a drug. They actually have drug ID numbers right on the label. The exact same label that I'm distributing here in America is sold on the entire continent of Africa in all these different countries as a drug. And somebody didn't believe that, so I texted him pictures of the product that actually has the drug ID number right on the bottle. These are being used by hospitals and doctors for treatments from anywhere from rheumatoid arthritis to HIV/AIDS to malaria to dengue fever. There's nothing that can survive a strong, well-balanced, unimpeded immune system cell functioning. That is your cure. We all have the cure within us. Most people succumb to disease because they don't understand how their body functions as we age, or for lack of a better term, how our body starts deteriorating in its efficient ability to function as we age. Because for every 10 years, you live your life from birth to death. Every 10 years, your body produces 8 to 10% less digestive enzymes for the digestive process. And the digestive process is the process of breaking down a food source to where you can actually break it down small enough to derive nutrients that would interact with the cell functioning in the human body. That is digestion. But for every 10 years you live your life from the day you're born, you're going to produce 8 to 10% less enzymes for that process. So by the time the average person has a lifespan or age of death at age 75 to 78, by the time you're 30 years old, you're about 35 to 40% deficient. But here's a specific number that we can prove all day long. By the time you're 38 to 42 years old, and your average age of death would be 75 to 78, by the time you hit 38 years old, your body produces less than 50% of the enzymes of what you did at age 15. Let me say that again. Your body produces less than 50%, So your body loses, producing 50% or more by the time you reach the age of 38 to 42 years old. And there's no way in heck that you can support a cellular functioning body that needs nutrients from a meal source when you have 50% less enzymes trying to digest it. That's just a fact. And then once you start to consume this heavy meat flesh diet, and there's Dr. Michael, I believe it was Milken, he was on one of the news channels here about probably 2 weeks ago, and he was talking about curing cancer with altering the human diet. Gee, what a novel concept. Quit eating muscle tissue flesh. Beef, turkey, chicken, pork, lamb, those are all muscle tissue flesh meat sources. And when you lose the ability to digest those meat sources, you lose the ability to produce enough enzymes to even begin to digest those meat sources as your daily meals, then you consume it, well, the body has to get rid of it. And in the process of trying to digest it, it gets enough digested where it can, but it's still incompletely digested. It's nowhere near fully digested, but it's digested enough where it can just slowly creep and be absorbed in the bloodstream. But by the time your beef source or your chicken source now from your meal gets in the bloodstream incompletely digested, it's regarded as what they call a circulating floating immune complex protein, or an FIC, floating immune complexes. And while that most of those floating immune complexes that get into the bloodstream are nothing more than just poorly and completely digested muscle tissue flesh from an animal. And do you know when that gets in the bloodstream, you can actually inhibit and reduce the amount of activity that your T lymphocytes, your cancer-destroying cells, your viral-infected cells of the body. That's what destroys the cell, the human cells of the body that are damaged, either DNA or they have a virus or bacteria or something that's inside of the cell affecting it. So your T lymphocytes, T helper killer cells is what they're called. They actually kill off damaged DNA and mutated cells of the human body. But those cells can be literally inhibited from functioning by as much as 1,325% less active. I can't think of any kind of a cell that has any kind of functioning efficiency in the human body if it's being inhibited by 1,325% less active. That's why people get disease and illness. Because your food, especially your muscle tissue meat flesh, you refuse to give up that diet. We're trying to keep pushing it through our body because we love the flavor. We've got emotional attachments to it. We've got this, we've got that. It's because we're creatures of habit, and that's the habit we formed to go out and have Sunday brunch, Sunday barbecues, Sunday whatever. And there's the problem. We do it to ourselves. And the one thing that I've preached about this, and it seems like I'm preaching all the time rather than talking to people, quit blaming everybody else for your disease and illness. Most of us self-create what we deal with as far as bad health and disease and illnesses. And most people do it because they're ignorant, and ignorant doesn't mean stupid. It means you're uneducated about the facts. Look it up in Webster's Dictionary. So I'm not insulting anybody. I'm uneducated about the facts about a whole lot of things. So I'm ignorant in a whole bunch of different areas and topics in life. We all are to some degree. But one place I refuse to be ignorant about is understanding how my body functions. And that's why I got into this. I didn't get into this so I could be on the phone calls helping educate the world. I got in this because I got severely poor coronary genetics. And I was not going to become the next heart attack or stroke victim to die at an age of 35, 45, 55 years old in my family history. 21 relatives, in fact. I was not going to be that person. And I was a very active, athletic person, and I loved to exercise. And so I had a different course I wanted to take in life than all my brothers and sisters, my mom, my dad, my aunts and uncles. And then that course has served me very well. And in the process of that, I've learned a whole lot about the human body. And what I've learned most of all of this stuff can be prevented. But you can only fix something if you understand how it works. And if you understand how it works, then you know how to fix it and when you need to fix it. And I'm telling everybody on this call, and I've been trying to tell the whole world, if you're not taking a digestive enzyme by the time the age of you're 35 years old, then you're going to have a disease or illness. There's no way around it. You're going to be in the doctor, their answer, let's put you on a drug. Drugs inhibit the body's ability to function. They just had a whole segment on NSAIDs today and with regards to the coronavirus. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. And, you know, every single one of those inhibit your body's ability to create the inflammation process. All drugs, there's no exception, and all drugs registered and distributed throughout the world all fit in one of five categories. And there's not one single category to where the drug that fits into that category doesn't inhibit or alter the natural cellular functioning process of the human body. Not one. So why would we try to inhibit our body in its naturally functioning ability, thinking we're going to heal and cure ourselves? I know that I can't go out and build a house unless I'm physically able to hold a hammer and a nailer and screw gun and be able to walk. But if you're going to sit there and put me in a box and think I'm going to go out and build that house, well, good luck with that. We're doing the same thing. We're asking our body to do the exact same thing whenever you take a drug. You want to alleviate a headache? Oh, just take some Tylenol. Or better yet, take some ibuprofen. Totally inhibit the process of the body's ability to even create a headache symptom. That's what drugs do. So they have a place, but they're Band-Aids. None of them address the issues and sole cause of the problem. Enzymes will. Good plant-based digestive enzymes, formulated properly, have all the minerals, all the different enzymes to digest the common daily diet. That's the way you get rid of disease and illness. Prevent the inhibiting factors of your muscle, tissue, meat, flesh from inhibiting your immune system's ability to function. That's where everybody has to start. Everybody, including me. And you have to do it every meal. It's not a part-time thing. It's not when I get around to thinking about it. You either have value for your health and your quality of life or you don't. And it's not, there is no hit and a miss. Your body functions 24 hours a day, every single second you're alive. And you're either doing one or two things. You're either supporting that process to occur properly or you're inhibiting that property, that process because of ignorance and not understanding what you're doing or how your body works. So that's the purpose of these calls, really, is I want to take the hysteria out of the coronavirus situation first, but I'm also trying to educate people on how their body functions. You got acid reflux, there's a reason why you got acid reflux. You got cancer, there's a reason why you got cancer. There is a reason for everything that occurs in the human body. Everything, even the things that, like Down syndrome, where the body doesn't produce the 13th chromosome, there's a reason for that, too. So deficiency of three amino acids, and every single person that's ever had Down syndrome in their genetics also have severe digestive difficulties to where their body doesn't even produce certain enzymes for the digestion of certain proteins. That's where your amino acids came from the certain proteins that you're missing the protease enzymes to digest those proteins, and it's in the genetics. Yeah, it was passed down from your parents. Everything is genetically linked. Everything. All you are is a pair of 95% to two genetics, your mother and your father. That's who we are, all of us. So, but that's all I wanted to talk about a little bit, and I'm not going to go any further because we do have another call after this one. And I do want to start making more time for questions and answers each and every week. And I know I have more often than not the same old people on the calls each and every week. But like I said, this is my message to the world on these calls each and every week. Stop with the hysteria about the coronavirus. And they've already told you these epidemics are going to be on a normal basis year after year. They've already told you this. President Trump told you. Dr. Fauci told you. The Democrats have told you. All you have to do is listen and start reading between the lines. They've already told us that our world has changed. There's no more getting out of this without having pandemics somewhere in the world on an annual basis. They've said that word for word multiple times already through this whole corona thing. So this is social engineering at its best, and that's what I call it. So get ready for it. And like I said, nobody has to be fearful of it. I can't believe, got to stay 6 feet away from anybody and everybody. Otherwise, you're somehow a terrorist trying to contaminate me and kill me because you're now trying to give me some kind of a coronavirus that you don't even know whether you have. Here in Montana, I know we don't. There's a lot of people tested, and nobody showed positive, but a couple, two, three people, and they were from out of state. So those are just the things that I want to really hit home on, is to try to help educate everybody on how their body works. Because if you understand that your diet is the biggest negative influencer on your health over the age of 35, then you can start to do something to reverse and prevent it. And the immune system will cure the body of any and all known conditions, diseases, illness, anaerobic organisms, or anything else that would potentially harm us. That's a fact. We've survived as a human species for millions of years because of that fact. And you can go back just example after example after example. The Ebola was just the most recent one. You know, I was just talking about it, so it just came to mind. The Great Plague in the 14th century, how did half the population of Europe survive? And the other half completely perished. And the part that perished was the peasants, the farmers. They didn't have the rich meat and the deer and the animals and the cows and the pigs and the goats like the royalty and the people that lived in the castles did. Funny, isn't it? The poorest people actually had the best survivability during the plague. And that's why you survived, because you had a healthy immune system. You didn't have red meat. You didn't have a diet that suppressed your immune system. We now know all of that now. But you didn't back then. So I'm just going to go ahead and stop right there, Dover. Let's go ahead and open it up for live conference calling and see if we can get some questions going on the call tonight. Because I know hopefully there's some people that called in. I just recently met them. They're from Hawaii, a couple of them, Molokai. Their relatives are dying of cancer, so hopefully they found a way to come on these calls tonight, and let's talk about it. And if not, I'll have to call them personally after the call and after we get done calling with the next call tonight, because I do want to be able to have access so everybody can talk to me. Let's make sense of all this disease and illness, and let's do a different path other than radiating and poisoning you to death, literally. More people die from the treatment of chemotherapy and radiation than survive. That's a fact. That's why cancer statistics are so high, and they're way, way high. You're talking 2-3% survival rate with some of these cancers, deep throat esophageal being one of them, pancreatic cancer being another one of them. 2-3% means 97 out of 100 people will die from it. And these are still current statistics. These aren't old-fashioned stuff. And there's a much better way to try to beat cancer than to destroy your body and your tissues and your immune system cells in the process. That is not going to work. So, all right, I'm done. Let's go ahead and open it up.
All right.
All right.
Wonderful. Great stuff, Ron. Appreciate that. If anyone has a question or a comment for Ron, hit *6 and unmute yourself and ask away, please. Who's got a question or a comment?
Somebody's got to have
Hi,
a question.
Ron.
Hi there.
Hi, Ron. This is Tana from North Dakota. Say, just have a quick question for you. I know you talk a lot about not eating flesh meat, but if you are taking the enzymes, does that mitigate some of the risks that you have when you're eating meat?
It does, but here's, and I'm glad. Great question. So what did I talk about earlier? For every 10 years you live your life, your body produces 8 to 10% less. So when you start taking enzymes, and then after about 4 or 5 years, wow, these things, what'd you do to your formula? These things used to work really well. Now I notice they're not working as good. They still work a little bit, but they're not as good. So I asked two questions. One, how many are you taking? Well, I only take one a day. A day, not a meal, one a day. Well, first of all, you're taking them improperly. You need to take them every single meal because you're trying to compensate what your body is losing the ability to do or never had the ability to do because of genetic imperfections and weaknesses when you were created. So what happens is as you start to go through aging, if you're going to go back to living from that muscle tissue diet, just remember you're going to have to start taking more and more capsules for every decade you live your life. Pretty soon you're consuming 8, 10 ounces of beef prime rib steak or something, and you started doing it in your 30s, and now you're somehow real close to 60. Gee, it just doesn't seem to work anymore. Well, do you see why not? Because your body's lost another 30, 40%, and you haven't increased your capsule count to compensate for what your body's losing. So that's a great question. But yeah, as you get older, you're going to find that the same old 2-3 enzyme capsules you used to take 15, 10 years ago just don't seem to be working and doing the same job. Increase it by a capsule or two. Start to take 3 before the meal and 2 after the meal. Now guess what? Now your bowel movements are regular. You're feeling good again. Yeah, and that's what you got to do. If you're going to live from that meat-flesh diet, yes, you can use the enzymes to get great nutrition and amino acids and other nutrients for the cellular body, but you're going to always have to find that magic number that works for you and the source of food and the amount of calories and ounces you're consuming in that food each meal each day. So each one of us is a little bit different, and that's why I try to encourage people to open up and have conversations on these calls about this exact same topic. So how much do I need for me? Give me an example of what you're eating with your meals. Is it chicken? Is it beef? Is it steak? Is it turkey? Is it pork? Is it lamb? What is it? How many ounces? How often a week? And then you can get to really, really specific numbers of capsules. And if you're using it properly in every meal, you're never going to compromise your immune system. Chances are you'll never get sick. And if you do, it's for a day, not 2 weeks. And the Sterilmax will create a Hercules out of anybody's immune system, because everybody's immune system still has the same enzymes within the white blood cell. The nucleus material, phagocyte, granulocyte, proteogen protein, those are found in every single human body, no matter what color, creed, ethnicity, what part of the world. You can find that in the nucleus of every single white blood cell worldwide. So, yeah, you have to make those adjustments. So can you continue eating the meat? Yeah, but you're going to have to be real consistent with the digestive enzymes, because there's one simple fact that's never going to change. You're going to lose a minimum of 8-10% every single decade you live your life, and that has to be compensated for if you're going to live from that muscle tissue meat flesh diet. So did that answer your question, or did it give you too much and kind of got off track?
No, that's exactly what I was looking for. I know we need to change our diet. However, we are meat eaters. We raise beef for a living. And I just didn't know if that was, the correct approach. We do take enzymes with every meal as much as we can. So
that's the way to do it. And like I said, if you're talking about beef and pork, which are your most muscular, dense, fibrous tissues in that meat category, one enzyme capsule is only going to digest 2 ounces of meat. So if you're taking 4 or 6 ounces, you're going to need a minimum of 3 capsules. And then when you go to the chicken and the turkey, if you're eating breast meat rather than leg tissue, you can digest up to 2.5 ounces of meat flesh with one capsule. And that's where it comes to 2 to 2.5 ounces per capsule, depending on what meat flesh you're talking about. But pork and beef, it's going to take you at least 2 capsules for each ounce of protein that you're going to, 1 capsule for each 2 ounces of protein you're going to digest. And there's no getting around that. So either cut back a little bit on the amount of ounces, instead of going 8 or 6 ounces, go maybe 2 to 4 ounces per serving. Or just change it, go to a fish diet, which is just flesh. There is no muscle tissue in flesh. It's just flesh. And it's much, much easier to digest. And the problem with meat, even though you want to keep eating it, you can digest it. And if you take a proper amount of enzymes, you're going to get a lot of amino acid nutritional benefit, even from a muscle tissue meat source. But if you don't take enough enzymes, then you're not going to get the complete breakdown, and your body's going to become deficient in amino acids. And amino acids create every single tissue in the human body. Brain tissue, nerve tissue, connective tissue, muscle tissue, organ tissue, soft tissue, skin tissue, on and on and on and on. Every bit of tissue in the human body is made from amino acids. And amino acids only come from some kind of a protein source. You're not going to get amino acids from fat. You're not going to get amino acids from sugars. You're not going to get amino acids from carbs and things like that. They come from proteins. And that's the broken down nutritional product. When you digest proteins, is the amino acids. That's the nutrition part that activates the body, gives it the ability to build all these different categories of flesh and tissue.
Thank you, Ron. That's very useful information. I'd never heard the amount of enzymes you need to take per ounces of meat, and I appreciate that information. Thank you.
Yep, you're very welcome. Thank you. Anybody else have a question, comment? Anybody?
I have a question if nobody else has a question right now.
Nope.
Ron? Okay, so basically in regards to the coronavirus, right, or any other virus, so once the body, if somebody contracts the virus, and let's just say your immune system is strong enough where it fights the virus off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So number one, how does the virus actually get eliminated out of the body by the immune system? And
yes.
Second, can the virus go into hiding and then come out later down the road and try to attack again or something like that, you know what I mean?
Well,
so that's kind of my question. What happens with that virus when we say the immune system beat it? What does that exactly mean? And does it get rid of it permanently?
Great questions. Really good questions. I appreciate both of them. So first of all, can the immune system get rid of viruses that have already infected the human cell? Yes, it does. T lymphocytes actually just break down and destroy that infected cell enzymatically. And that's how all immune system cells work. They work with enzymes that are either produced within the nuclei material of the cell, and then they secrete those enzymes through the little receptor openings along the outer membrane, and those enzymes dissolve the bacteria, the viruses, and in some cases, even the human cell itself that's infected. And that's how you get rid of cancer cells. Cancer cells are DNA-damaged cells. There's a lot of different components that can damage the DNA of the human cell, and they even reproduce DNA-damaged and unregulated in their functioning. That's why they cause so much damage to the rest of the body. And then why they grow so fast, they literally take over the space and push out new, healthier reproducing cells, and that's why you get a cancerous organ. It's like cancer can't infect another cell with some kind of a protein waste product that they have or something. That's not the way cancer grows. Cancer grows at about 3 times the regular rate of normal cell reproduction. So they literally take up all the space and push out the ability to grow healthy new tissues with any organ or tumor or whatever part of the body they're in. And that's the way cancers work. There's so many people who believe cancer somehow can poison and infect other normal functioning cells. And that's really not the way cancer works. It's not the way it grows, and it's certainly not the way it spreads throughout different parts of the bodies. So the first thing is, yeah, your immune system, like I said earlier, can destroy anything and everything that's potentially going to harm or deteriorate the human body. That is your cure and prevention from everything known to mankind for the last 20, 30, 40 million years. So with that being said, now, can the immune system destroy it all, or can a virus or another organism find a way to hide from the immune system? And the answer is yes. Yes. Chickenpox. What's shingles at 60, 70 years old? It's chicken pox in your teens, or maybe even 7, 8 years old when you're a little kid, and your body developed immunity to get rid of everything that's circulating. But that virus found a way to actually migrate to the nerve tissue. And nerves, the immune system will not interact with nerve tissue hardly ever. Certainly not that I've ever learned about or even heard about. And just like herpes, herpes comes and goes. Mononucleosis comes and goes. What's the other one? It's a blue virus. Epstein-Barr virus comes and goes. So we know that viruses definitely can find places to hide for decades in the human tissue, because that's all you have to hide is in the internal body environment. What is that? It's organs and tissues. So they like to hide in nerve tissue because the immune system just is not going to get a hold of nerve tissue and just start digging real deep trying to get to a virus. A lot of rheumatoid arthritic conditions are created by viruses hiding deep within bone tissue, which is very porous. So your immune system tears down your bone tissue, creating all this inflammation and scar tissue and destruction. And that's rheumatoid arthritis. That is an autoimmune disorder. And why your body's immune system goes tearing through healthy bone tissue is because it's trying to get to viruses down below the bone tissue. And that's kind of the way almost all autoimmune disorders work, whether it be lupus, whether it be rheumatoid arthritis. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. But your answer is, yeah, they can hide. But the point is, you can eventually get rid of them. Sometimes it does take years. Bone tissue will only grow itself in one complete cycle where every single cell in the human body has been replaced at least once. It only does that once every 7 years. So sometimes you are talking about years to fully recover. But the one thing you have to have, no matter when that opportunity of recovery presents itself, is a Hercules immune system. So in a Hercules immune system, when I say that word, I'm talking not only massively big, massively strong, massively active, but balanced in its functioning process. That is a Hercules immune system. So whenever that virus starts to come out of that tissue, either because it usually shows up in the bloodstream, starts to migrate from different areas of the body, is when the body's under severe inflammation, either from stress or some kind of an injury. And when severe inflammation starts to occur in the human body, that's when all these anaerobic organisms, all these things that are bad for us, they get stored. They love to come out and try to play and move and raise havoc and infect something else. But if you've got a good immune system, it doesn't matter how much inflammation you're under, whether it's physical, emotional, metabolic organ functioning, or even digestive stress. Your immune system will gobble it up just as soon as it hits the bloodstream, as long as you have a clean bloodstream for that immune system cell to function within. And that's what the digestive enzymes give your immune system, that pristine, beautiful, clean blood environment where there is no sticky proteins, where there is no heavy plaque and trans fats and all that things that would inhibit or slow down the functioning of the activity and efficiency of the body. So that's the way you take care of this. But great questions. I really appreciate them, because the answer is yes, it'll destroy any of the affected cells. But can viruses and other anaerobic organisms hide from the immune system? Yes, they can, for years and decades. We know that about herpes. We know that about a whole bunch of different diseases that are directly connected to viruses. And viruses have a much easier way of hiding from your immune system in the deeper tissues of the body because they're so small. They're much smaller than fungus, bacteria, mold, and some of these other anaerobic organisms and even parasites that would infect the body. So hopefully that answered your question. But the answer is yes.
Ron, this is Mike from Wisconsin, first time calling in.
Hey, Michael, welcome. I wish that you would have identified yourself so we could welcome, a special welcome for all you first-time callers. So,
yeah, appreciate that. Arnie Monticello told me about you guys. So.
Okay.
But I've got, I was just at the doctor yesterday. I got diabetes type 2 and been on prescriptions for years. But they wanted me to go on insulin. I just don't want to do it. Doesn't seem to be working. My blood sugar is like 330. A1C is 11.2.
Boy, you're giving me really high numbers, you know, so you got to do something about that. So when you say they don't want you to go on insulin, let me ask you, first of all.
No, they want me to go on insulin.
Oh, I understand that, and you don't want to. So first question I have for you, when were you actually, how old are you, and when were you diagnosed with this type 2 diabetes?
56. I've had it since about 40.
So you've had it 15, 16 years roughly. Okay, so yeah. Let me ask you something. What are you doing now to try to control or lower your blood sugar levels? What are you doing?
I haven't really done much. You know, I eat a lot of meat and stuff, and I got to change diet and everything. So I travel a lot, but I eat a lot of junk on the road, which isn't any good either. So.
Okay, but do you understand how eating protein would benefit you at lowering blood sugar levels and lowering that blood sugar through, not through elevating or increasing insulin, because you can't do that, but whether you're type 1 or type 2 doesn't matter. Your body just doesn't have the capacity to produce enough insulin to change the chemistry where your muscle tissue receptors open up and suck out that blood glucose out of your blood and use it as a primary energy source. That's what insulin does, and insulin is produced only in the pancreatic organ. So let's go back a little bit. The hardest thing for the body to digest is meat, flesh. For anybody that's been a diabetic, I can tell you two things. One, you've been an meat eater most of your life, and two, you've consumed an awful lot of sugar-based carbohydrates, pops, things like that.
Correct.
Okay, I was going to say, so tell me if I'm wrong, but I know I'm right. So that's the first thing. So understand, how did that affect your body? First thing is, meat is the hardest thing for the body to process through. And I don't care whether you're an athlete, and I talk to athletes all over the world about this stuff. Meat is great. It's not the only amino acid source that you can get to build strong muscles and tissues of the human body. Actually, a fish diet is way more capable of building a much bigger, larger, more massive muscle tissue body than flesh meat. And I'll tell you why. I'm sure everybody knows already out there about the keto diet and Nutrisystem and Jenny Craig and all this high-protein meat consumption, and you lose weight. That's great. But you got to understand how the process works when you eat meat. What is the process that it takes to digest meat flesh, muscle tissue meat flesh, through your body? Your body has to, first of all, produce the necessary enzymes to digest that. And they come from various organs. So most of them come from the pancreas. You do get some lipase enzymes from the gallbladder. You're going to get some other enzymes from your carbohydrates. Amylase enzymes are produced in your salivary or saliva glands. So there's different parts of the body that release enzymes depending on where it's at in the body for the digestive process. But the one thing that happens is just your pancreas produces almost all protease enzymes that are going to digest the protein part of your muscle tissue meat. And so what happens is the pancreas is also the only place where insulin is produced. In fact, I've worked with a group of scientists, and we actually digested a human pancreas. And what we were looking for is for two things. One, how much of the pancreatic organ actually produces tissue that would release enzymes, protease enzymes specifically, and how much of the tissue actually produce insulin, the beta insulin cells. Less than 3% of the pancreatic organ actually has tissue that releases insulin. Less than 3%. Over 57% and as much as 83% of those tissues can produce protease enzymes that are involved in the digestive process of your meat. So first thing you have to understand is the pancreatic organ's priority metabolic functioning role as an organ is to produce enzymes for digestion way before it'll even think about doing insulin from beta cells. So as you go through a meat flesh diet, meat flesh is considered a catabolic food. Body literally goes through a cannibalism, breaking itself down and eating itself just to try to digest a piece of meat. And what I mean by that, so you eat the meat, your body has to produce all the enzymes and all the calories in the meat source that you just consumed. 100% of those calories are going to be used up from a muscle tissue meat flesh source just digesting the meat. And that's not even enough to digest it through the body. So now we've consumed the meat, we've used up all the calories in the meat we consumed, and now the body has to go to stored fat and get more calories to finish off the digestive process of pushing that meat through the body. And that's why people lose fat when they eat from those high, they're called ketosis, but what's the other word they use for them? It starts with a K. Not ketosis, but it's another type of the diet that everybody's on. But it's a high-protein diet, and it's great for losing weight. Problem is your body produces a massive amount of hydrochloric acid in order to activate those enzymes, those protease enzymes that are produced for the digestion of that meat. And hydrochloric acid cannot leave the acid stomach. If it gets in the bloodstream, it will actually eventually cause so much damage because of inflammation. It's called acidosis, where you're literally dissolving holes through the arteries in your vessels, and you start leaking blood out of your circulatory vessels. So what do we have that your body can control all that massive acid that has to be produced in order to create the acid pH to activate your protease enzymes that your pancreas produced? Calcium. And nobody talks about taking extra calcium with those high-protein catabolic diets. So the only place your body has to get calcium from is the bone tissue. So your body literally leaches out and breaks down bone tissue to get the calcium to neutralize the acid, because there's a tremendous amount that's produced to activate all that large amount of protein, muscle tissue flesh, you're pushing through your body. So that's the first thing that causes your pancreas to become weakened in its ability to produce insulin. The human pancreas is the only organ in all of organs and tissues of the human body that can literally enlarge itself to nearly double the size, still function with some kind of efficiency as a metabolic functioning organ in the human body. So your organ literally is growing. Now, what do we know about an enlarged heart? Is it healthier? Is it going to last longer? Or is it weaker, shorter, and you feel a lot of angina and pain? You can answer that one. Which one?
Second one.
Correct. You're not going to have nearly as strong of an organ. You're going to weaken it. It's going to burn out on you years and decades earlier than it should. And same thing with the heart. Same thing with the liver. When you have cirrhosis of the liver, enlargement of the liver, that kills people prematurely. My older brother, his name was Tuffy. He died from that. He died from a cirrhosis of the liver that was caused by fat buildup, a fatty tissue liver. So when you start enlarging organs, you're really playing a real risk with your overall health, and it's definitely going to shorten your lifespan by as much as 15 to 25%. So that's the first thing you have to understand is what's going on with my body's ability to produce insulin. What's going on with the pancreas? The pancreas is over-enlarging, trying to create more tissues to produce more enzymes, digest your food. And as I was talking earlier to someone, for every decade we live our life, your body's going to produce 8 to 10% less digestive enzymes. So at some point in your early to mid-30s, if you're not doing something to compensate for that loss of enzymes, you're the only other alternative your body has is try to enlarge the pancreas and produce more tissue to release more enzymes. And that organ is so weak that and so enlarged that it just literally sacrifices even try to maintain beta insulin cells. That's why people start taking my enzymes. One of the first thing they notice, if they don't have acid reflux problems, you can literally notice within the very first meal you take my enzymes a difference in that problem and issue. But one of the first things that they're starting to notice is, wow, my blood sugar levels are now starting to come down after a few weeks and a few months. And I haven't altered my diet at all. Well, what you've done is you've taken the stress and the inflammation process away from your pancreatic organ, and it's starting to shrink. That's the first thing that happens when you start taking these digestive enzymes. And you know the saddest thing, type 2 diabetes is the fastest growing disease worldwide, not just here in America, but it's way beyond epidemic proportions if you knew the real numbers, and they don't want to release the real numbers. And the best guess is that over 70% more of the numbers we already know about, which is 31 million Americans, which is about roughly about 10% of the U.S. population, is actually diagnosed of having the disease, type 2 diabetes. That's just type 2. There's over 39 million Americans with type 1, 2, and diabetic diagnosed conditions. And the sad fact is they think that half of America by the year 2025, over 50% of every walking person in the United States will have the disease diabetes, 1, 2, or adult onset or juvenile onset. And they've broken it down into five different categories now. The main two are type 1 and type 2. But you have juvenile diabetes, you have adult onset. I mean, they go on and on, because if you lump the numbers all together, they're astronomical. So the first thing is you have to understand what's causing the body's ability or inability to produce insulin. And that's what type 2 diabetes is the over-enlargement of the pancreas to where it no longer regulates and produces insulin properly. So that's the first thing. And the only thing you can do is either alter your meat-flesh diet to where your body isn't so stressed to try to produce enough enzymes to digest that, cut back on the amount of proteins, or completely alter the proteins, or just start taking digestive enzymes so you don't have to alter too much of anything. But it's got to be every meal. Consistency is the key, as I always say. So that's the first thing. And then so you start taking enzymes, and that'll start to take the pressure off of the pancreas to overproduce or use up a lot of tissue to start producing more enzymes. And the second thing is you can actually use protein as a benefit. You can use it as your aid to combat those higher glucose levels. Because, again, you're going to go back to the same source that I just talked about. Muscle tissue protein is a catabolic food, meaning your body's going to have to burn and use more calories just to digest that food source than the amount of calories in the food source. And your body always has to go to the stored fat in order to get extra calories. So what's the best way to lower blood sugar levels? take something that's going to consume a mass amount of calories real in a short period of time, which is muscle, tissue, flesh. So in your case, you walk this fine line between you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But if you understand this, I could help you get rid of that disease altogether, because type 2 diabetes, no matter what age you are, it really gets started getting difficult if you're trying to do it 80, 85 years old, and you're going to be, you know, keeled over dead by the time you're 87, because your body really doesn't have much to work with. But you're a pretty young guy. You're definitely not out of the woods and so old that you can't have help at all. You're definitely not in that situation or anywhere near it. But the first thing is to start taking enzymes every meal, whether they're mine or anybody else's. I really don't care. I mean, I know I got the best one in the world. Nobody can challenge me on that, and anybody has, I can sure shut them up real quick. Let's just put them in a McDonald's cheeseburger and see which one's going to digest the burger. And I come out, you know, smell like a rose every time on that thing, even oatmeal, a much simpler thing to do, same thing. So the first thing is start taking the enzyme. Second thing is use meat as your friend, because your body has to find some kind of caloric source in order to digest that meat flesh through your body. And the easiest source is blood glucose. We already know it's easy. It's circulating in the blood. It's elevated, so it's readily available. So, and the thing that you can do is you're speeding up the use of calories. You're actually activating muscle tissue, because muscle tissue is always looking for some kind of a caloric source. And taking amino acids, I just brought out a brand new product. It's for skin, hair, and nails, and weight loss. But it's good for a diabetic as well, because the muscle tissue of the body is the most active tissue of all tissues in the body. In fact, 1 pound of lean muscle tissue will metabolize more calories than the entire rest of the human body put together.
So what product is that?
1 pound of lean muscle tissue, strong, dense lean muscle tissue, will metabolize more calories per pound than the rest of the body put together. So it's the amino acids. I don't have tricky names. If I say it's plant enzymes, it's plant enzyme. It's amino acids, it's amino acids. I don't name my products like most other companies. But these amino acids, they're pre-digested. So they're already in a form that the body can instantly use out of the bloodstream. As soon as that capsule dissolves, it's absorbed, gets the blood, and boom. That is the primary source for all tissues that make up the human body. And muscle tissue, because it's so active, it's always looking for a way to get nutrients to not only maintain itself, but to even grow itself with. And so calories, you think of blood glucose, what is it? It's an excess of sugar, but it's a real high caloric source. It's real high in calories. And muscle tissue just loves blood glucose. The problem is insulin is a hormone. It's not a substance. It's a hormone. And when insulin is elevated into the bloodstream, that changes the blood chemistry. It also changes the ability of muscle tissue receptors to open and close. Now they're wide open. When there's insulin present in the blood and elevated levels, the muscle tissue receptors on the muscle tissue is wide open. They're just sucking that glucose out of the blood like a vacuum cleaner. So you can use meat, flesh, protein as your friend for a person living with diabetes, type 1 or type 2. It benefits type 2 much, much more easily, because type 1 you're usually born with a flaw in your ability to produce insulin in the first place. So that's the first thing. Don't be afraid of meat, but meat is really going to screw you up. It's going to render your immune system totally worthless if that protein from your meat source gets in the bloodstream and completely digested. So that's the first thing to understand about that whole thing. And can you reverse it? Absolutely. I've helped so many diabetics. In fact, Steve Raber's a guy that was over in Madison, Wisconsin, in the hospital, and he was on a dialysis machine full-time because he was on a dual kidney transplant list and a liver transplant list. He got a blood transfusion that was tainted with hepatitis that destroyed his liver, and he was there for over 5 years. And I literally helped him get off his dialysis, buy a home, have a farm, and everything else. And he was, you know, he was just days away from dying when I first ran into him. And his sister-in-law, Katie, was the one who just happened to pick up a bottle of my enzymes from a health food store over in Unity, Wisconsin, send it to him. And his doctor called me from his office after a month of him using it and said, "Who are you and what is this stuff? I've never seen anybody recover from what he's dealing with like this." And his doctor actually wanted to private label it as a drug and distribute it worldwide under the auspice of dialysis treatment. So that's neither here nor there, but let's get back to your... So is all you, did I explain enough to you about diabetes and your diet and stuff to where you kind of made sense of it?
Yeah, I watched your cancer video of the 2-hour one and we're looking around at stuff earlier today. So I'm trying to figure out, so what would you recommend that I order for products here?
Well, the first thing is enzymes. Ken, we got to compensate and get that inflammation to cease that's going on with your pancreatic organ. So there's enzymes and the probiotics both. They're both going to participate in the digestive process, which will take a lot of that burden away from your pancreas.
So that would be essential one, the plant enzymes?
The plant enzymes and the probiotics with the FOS, yes. And then there's a third and a fourth one because you want to have the metabolic complete. That's going to attack the inflammation and stuff that's going on in your body, prevent that because of the antioxidant, the really high antioxidant value. And then the fourth one is called the Alloace Max. And polysaccharides are unique long-chain sugar molecules that give the DNA of the human body that's responsible for the enzymes that replicate the human cell. The bottom line is those nutrients from the Alloace Max can be utilized to increase the cellular reproductive rate of healthy cells to repair all the old damaged tissue that's created by that excess of blood glucose. Do you know why people actually have amputations when they have the disease diabetes and it gets so severe to where you actually develop gangrene and you start cutting off limbs because of the excess of sugar damage caused by the blood glucose? Do you know why that all occurs and why diabetes is such a deadly, agonizing, deteriorating, slow death disease? Because sugar literally breaks down arterial tissue through fermentation. Sugar actually dissolves the human tissue of protein. And when you lose the ability to circulate blood in your lower extremities, either your fingers or your feet, and that's where neuropathy always starts because that's where the inability to maintain proper good flexibility of the vessels occurs. Your arteries start dissolving, and now your blood's flowing out of the actual artery tube, if you will, into the tissues of the body. So you're no longer capable of delivering blood and nutrients to the tissues at the extremities, and you can't remove cellular metabolism waste either. So all that bacteria and all the things that travel in the bloodstream just start to build up, and they literally become gangrene. It's so infectious that it's poisonous to the body. So the only thing they can do is cut it off because you can't heal the tissues and stuff until you can get a handle and get that blood glucose under control. And you asked me one question, and I'll stop with this a little bit, but it's important that you understand what this disease leads to, and I'm sure most people do that are diabetics. You got to get control of that blood sugar, so that's going to bring me back to my last comment. If you start doing this stuff and you're doing this for another 6 months to a year, the numbers you're telling me about, I hate to say this, but sometimes there are left with no alternatives because the body is so weakened and destroyed internally that it can't heal itself. Then you might have to go on to insulin for a limited amount of time till you get those blood glucose numbers down below at least 140. Because at 140 is where you start to see that tiny microscopic dissolving and breaking down of the human tissue. That's why you are diagnosed as a diabetic as a 140 glucose number. And they want the A1C below 7 because that A1C directly correlates with 140 glucose numbers.
Right. So to start with, so I got plant enzymes, the probiotics, and then metabolic complete, and then the Alloace Max.
Correct. And you'll do very well with those four if you use them consistently, and especially the metabolic complete and the aloe. Take four of those a day, two in the morning, two in the evening. And then the enzymes and the probiotics, like I said, the enzymes, you're going to get used to looking at how much muscle tissue protein there is in a plate. And it's important you know how many ounces are there because that's going to directly correlate to how many enzyme capsules you have to use just to digest that meal efficiently. And when you start using enough, you're going to see those blood glucose numbers start to drop. In fact, the very first thing I would tell you to do, and I learned this from Honolulu, Hawaii, by a guy by the name of Michael Maharaj, just stupid, two young guys, and I was in my 37, 30, 40, something like that. He came in, he's about 28 years old, and he says, what were these enzymes? Will they do anything to a diabetic? And I said, well, let's take your blood, get it on the screen, then you can take some enzymes and take your blood sugar levels. Well, he did. And literally, he sat there, and a half hour later, by the time I was done doing his blood, I stuck his finger again because he took his blood glucose before I gave him the enzymes. Half hour later, after taking the enzymes, he took his blood glucose again. His blood glucose dropped by 78 points. 78 points in a half hour just sitting there just taking some enzymes. So, and then I started looking at other people and started doing that, and sure enough, you can take enzymes away from your meals and it'll start dropping your blood glucose numbers. Why? Why would it do that? Because there's so much incompletely digested protein that the minute that enzyme hits the bloodstream and starts breaking up the protein, creating amino acids, those muscle tissue receptors open wide open and out sucks the glucose right in the cells of the muscle tissue. So pretty fascinating stuff, actually, when you get to looking at it. But like I said, it's important for you to just start with the basics. Don't be afraid to eat meat, even though, like I said, it's going to really do a number on your immune system as far as its efficiency. But if you're taking enough enzymes, you're getting amino acids in the bloodstream, not incompletely poorly digested meat flesh proteins. That they will both have dramatically different effects on the body. So in your case, I'd say don't be afraid to eat muscle tissue protein. Just make sure you take enough enzymes where when it does get to the bloodstream, it's amino acids. It's not incompletely immune complex protein.
Yeah. Then I'm also ordered some choral calcium too. Not a different brand and stuff here, but that's okay to do it too, huh?
Well, it is good. What brand did you actually order? Because what most people in the world, or even the United States especially, don't know, I was the one who brought Choral Calcium to the United States market from Okinawa, Japan. Kevin Trudeau and Bob Barefoot made it famous on national TV infomercials, but neither one of those people had anything to do with calcium until they met me. And I met Bob Barefoot in Spokane, Washington, through another company I was private labeling products to, and he took it to Kevin Trudeau. And within a year after I brought it here, they had already found out some dredging sources that sold it at about one-tenth of the price. And people have to understand, I guess you'd have to go over there to see the difference between all the dredging coral that's supplied worldwide and the stuff that's supplied by the Erickson Medical Group through a big ship that vacuum the floor in and around the reefs of coral, but they cannot decay the coral reef. And they're the only people licensed in the world, and they're licensed by the Sand Seas Coral Association. It's like the Sierra Club. It's the watchdog over coral reefs, like Sierra Club is the watchdog of the world over the environmental issues. There's a huge difference between the coral that I have under the Choral Calcium label and any other coral that's being sold in the United States. I'm the only one. I tried to private label it to many different network marketing companies and stuff. Once everybody found out you could go buy $5 a kilo coral out of Okinawa, Japan, from one of those nine dredging companies, everybody in America buys the crap. And it really is, it is crap. It's coral, but it's literally harvested trying to reclaim and rebuild the beach from the tide wash. Okay. So when the tide goes out, what happens to all that coral? It's literally exposed to oxygen. What happens to anything in salt water that's exposed to oxygen, even for seconds? It oxidizes into cement. It no longer has the property of living coral calcium, almost identical to human bone tissue. It's solid. You'd have better luck going out and chipping calcium or cement off of your curb on the street and then go ahead and pound that up with a hammer and eat that stuff. It's really the same analogy to what most people are buying. And the same thing with calcium carbonate is another thing that irks my craw. Calcium carbonate is what your teacher wrote on the blackboard when we were all kids in school called chalk. Would you think of eating chalk to try to build strong bones and teeth and manage the alkalinity, acidity balance of the human body? Not if you're educated at all about chemistry. And yet that's what's in CalMag being sold at Walmart. That's what most network marketing companies have as their calcium source. That's what just about every single enzyme product I ever ran into that had calcium as an ingredient as some kind of an enzyme activating mineral. It's calcium carbonate. It's the cheapest crap out there. It's the most difficult thing for the human body to try to eliminate. It can't assimilate it, but once it's consumed, to even try to eliminate it causes a lot of buildup and bone spurs and buildup on your joints and stuff. So these are just kind of some of the things, and I'm sorry I'm getting off the cuff here, but these are why I want people to come on these calls. So you're not going to be had by the rest of the industry. And I'm happy to have anybody that wants to challenge me in a conversation to come on to these calls. I love conversations of diversity. I won't call them challenges or this or that or about it. No, I want to get to the facts, because through these conversations, everybody's going to get to the facts real fast. And you'll see when you look at the facts of everything, you might want to make some different choices, because they're certainly not nearly as good as they could be.
Yep. So the coral, I'll just get you, your coral would probably help me then too, I'm sure.
Well, any coral, any calcium outside of calcium carbonate, I'm not a big fan of most of them, but a citrate malate, a calcium ascorbate, what's the other one? Calcium... citrate, malate, ascorbate, there's a couple other forms. Any and all of those are good for neutralizing acid. And really, that's what the balancing the body's pH is all about. Reducing and eliminating the excess acid to where it only exists in the pancreatic organ and the acid stomach in the digestive process. It really doesn't even exist in the pancreatic organ. I just misstated that. It's only in the acid stomach. And so you don't want it to get beyond the acid stomach in the GI tract, or worse yet, in the bloodstream, because then your body is going to start to develop those little teeny fragmented holes through your arteries and stuff. And then you start getting high blood pressure, and then you have high LDL cholesterol. You could actually blow holes right through the arteries. And if you do it in a brain, it's called an aneurysm. All of this stuff has to be managed. But calcium is the most important mineral and the most widely used mineral in the human body. I don't know if most people know that, calcium is the most widely used mineral in the body. There's over 432 metabolic functions that can't occur without calcium. It is the only thing the body has in order to manage the overall pH, acidity, alkalinity balance. And really, when you think about pH, most people don't even think about oxygen. If you take a litmus strip, put it in your saliva, pull it out, and let it set in the air for about 15 minutes, you'll see it goes to a real, real bright purple. When you first took it out, it's probably yellow, maybe a greenish. And if you're real lucky, it's kind of a lighter blue. But if you hold it out there for 15 minutes, it'll get purple on the end of that thing. Purple is the highest the pH color scale goes. So what did you do? You just held it in the highest pH there is. And that had nothing to do with the human body. All that's on that litmus strip, saliva. So it's all about oxygenation and the calcium. Calcium neutralizes acid, and when acid's not present, it allows for the uptake of oxygen, which is alkalinity. And cancer, no anaerobic disease or organism survives in a highly oxygenated, elevated pH body. That's just a scientific fact.
Okay. And then on the plant enzymes, should I start out with the half or the full strength?
I would start out with the starter and make sure to go to the website, enrichinggifts.com, to the section where it says products. And there's a protocol in there that says how to use the Enriching Gift products. And it'll take you through each product. It'll take you your first day all the way through 16 weeks. Some of it you have to take less than what's on the bottle, because you really risk having a real heavy detox too fast. Some of it you have to double the dosage on the bottle if you really want to get those therapeutic effects. So all of this information is right on that how to use the Enriching Gifts products on the enrichinggifts.com website.
Yeah, it was on there. I printed it off, how to use the one, but it was like a one-page thing. It wasn't – I didn't see
it. No, it is a one – well, when you say a one-page thing, it shouldn't be a one-page thing, because it should have 16 different weeks. And I know your first week of enzyme use is dramatically different than your third or your fourth or even your sixth or your eighth week.
Okay, I probably just didn't click on something right then.
Yeah, because there is a single page there. It'll tell you how many bottles, it tells you how to get started with all of them. But there is a flip chart, and if you don't find a flip chart on there, then that's something that Dover and I need to talk about creating on the how to use, another extension of that. But just text me your name and your address after you get off the phone call tonight, and I'll mail you a 16-week hard copy flip chart. Each page represents a week, and there's 16 pages in there. There's 8 pages front and back. So on the front and the back, there's 2 weeks worth, and I'll be happy to mail it out to you.
Okay, what's your number on the text?
808-349-7133. And just for everybody that's on the call that might not be on here before as well, that number is turning on 24 hours a day. If you ever need anything in the way of help, understanding, something's not right, you don't feel good, you're wondering what's going on, give me a call. I always say it's open to everybody, just don't abuse it. Make sure it's important when you do call.
Ron, Joe Vandalos, you may want to just clarify the website, because I know that there's the other woman who also has a website that's
similar. Make sure that it's enriching, E-N-R-I-C-H-I-N-G, and then make sure to add the double G for gifts. So it's enriching, ends with a G, and gifts, G-I-F-T-S, starts with a G. Because if you miss one G, it's going to take you to a website in Oregon called Enrich Gifts. And they don't have the same program, and they certainly don't have the same information I have on my website. So just enrichinggifts.com, and it'll have that 16-week flip chart on there. And like I said, if it doesn't, text me at that 808 phone number, and I'll be happy to get that out to you.
Ron, this is Dover. I don't believe it is on the website, so we're going to get that put up there for everyone. So just give us a couple, 2-3 days, and we'll make sure it happens.
Okay. Yeah, because like I said, I've got the flip charts actually out in my supply pile and stuff out in the warehouse. So just give me a text, and I'll get that off to you tomorrow morning. Okay?
Ron, do you think that kids should be on the enzymes and the sterols?
Do I think what should be on the enzymes and sterols?
Kids, children.
Oh, children, absolutely. That's why we came out with the starter enzyme. You know, when I first did this, going back 30-some years ago, when I very first got over to South Africa, I was starting to talk with a lot of people, and I made some tremendous, great relationships with real high-end scientists and doctors and medical people. And I was always of the mindset, do not give it to children, especially under the age of 10, because their body is still developing. And you know that old adage, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. So if you're not forcing your immune system to find ways to combat viruses and things like that, you're constantly overtaking antibiotics to where your body doesn't have to be sick or you don't have to be sick, you're going to ruin your immune system. So along with those lines, I thought, well, that must apply to the digestive. If you're giving your body enzymes all the time, you're not developing the pancreas and the other digestive organs and the overall digestive process. You're making it lazy because the enzymes you're taking are doing all the digestion. That used to be my thought process. And then here probably about 8 years ago, I guess, it was probably back in 2014, 2013, right in there, I came in touch with some of my old, I call them my fundamental 12 scientists. I had kind of an old come to meetings, and we hadn't talked to each other for well over 10, 12 years, and just happened to come in contact. So we started talking again and stuff, and he brought up a really good point. He said, you know, you're almost too smart for your own good, because you talk about what great common sense you have. Think about this. Slow down and think about this. So, and he's just like Professor Pagel. You know, I thought enzymes would cure the world, and I was positive they would, and I still know they would. But there's other things other than just my enzymes. And he's had to sit me down, slow me down, and talk through a few things over the week that I was over there, one of the very first times I met him. And after that, I was on and off for over 4 years in Africa. But getting back to the thing we're talking about, so if you're looking at children taking the starter enzymes, absolutely, I'm an advocate. Because the developmental process of anything only occurs with the nutrients being provided to the cells to carry out the functionality of the cell process, whatever it is. And if your child hasn't developed enough enzymes to get an efficient digestive process to digest the meals to get the nutrients to develop from, then that's why a lot of these hindrances and these gluten intolerances and a lot of these processes never get developed fully or efficiently. because of lack of enzymes in the developmental process. So he actually switched my whole paradigm of thinking. I still don't encourage anybody under the age of 3 to do it. But if they're just not developing properly and they're displaying digestive difficulties and digestive problems like constipation, belly aches all the time, things of that nature, then, yeah, feel free to start taking the starter enzymes, because they were actually formulated for children and very, very older, elderly people and people that have real toxic bodies, like suffer from diseases of cancer, things of that nature. You don't want to go through a heavy detoxification release from the tissues within your body, especially when your body's dealing with a broken-down disease like cancer that's in 2-3 organs already. So you don't want to risk a heavy detoxification and the blood filling up with more toxicity when struggling to function and get rid of the disease already. So to make a long story short, yeah, I'm a big advocate of giving the kids enzymes now to develop with. And I'm not worried about the hindrance of development any longer, because that I just equated it wrongly across the different parts of the body. I related digestion to the immune system. And when you're developing as a child, you need all the nutrition and help you can get. And so that extra digestive enzymes with their meals, they're getting 100% of the full nutritional value that meal can provide them, whatever it is.
So should I break open the capsule because they can't swallow a capsule and put
How old are they? Because I just mentioned 3 years old. Normally by 3 years and older, they're eating foods and they're able to swallow capsules usually.
Yeah, no. One's 7 and one's 9.
And they don't swallow capsules yet?
No.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. And please listen to this carefully. You can put it into like orange juice or grape juice or some kind of sweetened juice or even milk, but make sure you drink it immediately, and I mean drink it all, because if you release these enzymes into things that actually have sugars, it'll turn them rancid in 10, 15 minutes. So it's important that you put them in small amounts where the whole amount of the capsule can be consumed in whatever liquid you put it in.
What about the sterols? Can they be on that?
Sterols any age. Yep, you can even take sterols apart and put it in baby's bottles and milk and stuff like that. But there is small fibers in there, so it'd be hard for them to get it out of a bottle. But, yeah, absolutely. Sterols are good for any age. And there's not that much enzymes in that product where it's going to be like taking a full-dose enzyme capsule every time you take it. And for anybody under age of 10, you know, you don't need that 6 capsules a day. You only need 3 a day, and you probably really only need 2. The only I say 3 is because I'll go back to our research in South Africa at Natal Medical Center. It showed us that every single bit of sterols you put in the body for the first 77 days, you're going to absorb over 98% of it into the bloodstream. And that percentage, once you get beyond the first 90 days of consuming that, that 98, 99% absorption drops all the way down to 17 to 23%, depending on your own needs and individual metabolism. So,
Joe Vandalos, I have a quick question. That normally they have to be taken on an empty stomach. If you give them to a child with food, how does that interact? How does that work?
No, I didn't say give them to a child with the food. If I did,
I thought you said in a bottle. I thought you meant in a bottle.
Oh, well, that's just milk. That's the only way to take it if you're feeding a baby. And if you're taking this, by the way, Joe brought up another really good point. I failed to mention it, but I'm going to mention it now. When you're using the Sterol Max and the Sprouts for building the immunity, you never, ever, 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 ever take them with any kind of a food or even a vitamin supplement. They have to be taken on an empty stomach 1 hour before any kind of nutrition or food consumption, because they're macromolecules. They're very large, and they need all the opening and all the clearance of nutrients from the villi receptors where nutrients are absorbed from the GI tract in the bloodstream. And if you're trying to take them anywhere near a meal, all of those vitamins and some of those smaller nutrients are all plugged up trying to be absorbed in the bloodstream, just like sterols would be. But their macromolecules are just like LDL cholesterol and HDL. They're very, very large molecular substances, and they will fill up the entire space of that little tube that runs dangly down in the GI tract going in the bloodstream. They'll fill up that whole thing. And so if you try to take them with meals, two things are going to happen. One, you're going to not absorb the nutrients from your meal very effectively, so you're going to become vitamin deficient somewhere. And you're not going to absorb the sterols very easily either, so you're not going to get a significant amount in there that can actually work with the immune system cells modulating and proliferating and building that big, huge immune system cell network in 9 months. So either way, they're going to suffer. That's why you have to take them apart. And the SteroMax only use one single time a day, because throughout the entire day as you're eating, your villi shoots are constantly absorbing nutrients. So there is no empty space villi. That only occurs about 8 hours after sleep and no eating first thing in the morning. So that's why it's important to take them 1 hour before any kind of meal consumption if you're trying to build an immune system with that nutrient source. You can take them with the meal to inhibit and lower your LDL cholesterol, but that's a whole other story. I don't even want to get into that on this conversation. So I'm glad you brought that up, Joe, because that's a very important point.
Can we take them with plant enzymes in the morning?
Yeah, there's plant enzymes in the SteroMax formula if you turn around and read the label. So, yeah, you can. I don't know why you would want to do that, but you can.
I only do that because I like to take the plant enzymes in the morning on an empty stomach for the blood as well as with the food. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're just cleaning up the blood, getting ready for the nutrients when you do eat. So, okay. But, yeah, real important. Always follow the label with the SteroMax. It's really critically important. If you're focusing on building an immune system, whether it's a little child, a teenager, or even an adult, or even a senior, got to be taken on an empty stomach. And for the first 3 months, you always double the dosage. You're taking 6 capsules, not 3. And after that first 3 or 4 months, whether you're dealing with cancer, whatever it is, you can knock it down. I wouldn't go to 3, but I definitely wouldn't take 5 or 6 because your body's not absorbing it anymore. Extensive research, multiple studies show the same results. So don't waste your money, I guess, is the moral of that conversation. So did that answer your question, ma'am?
Yes, it did. I just wanted, okay. Should I have them on sterols and enzymes, too, at the same time?
You could.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, remember, take the enzymes with the meals, though. You do not need to take extra enzymes with the sterols because they already have, I think, 50 or 75 milligrams in the formulation already.
Yep, I've been on it for months.
Okay. Good.
So my whole family has been, and then now I'm like, my grandkids should maybe be on it. So everybody in my family's on it, so I'm just like trying to figure out how to.
Right. Well, I'm telling you, it's never too early when it comes to an immune system to start building as much of it as you can, because it's going to really come in handy when you need it throughout your lifespan. And a lot of kids get sick a lot and things like that. Gail Tamarabucci from Honolulu, Hawaii, her kids, all of them, Angela, Shayla, Keo, all of them were born literally from babies, and they started enzymes and SteroMax from birth. She fed it through them through the bottle. She fed it through them through nursing. She used to nurse, put it in her own bottle and have her mother's milk and give it that way. And I'll tell you, man, these three kids are just extraordinarily healthy. They've never been sick their whole lives. So, and now they're all graduating from college and everything else. So we're talking a lot of decades. So, but anyways, So hopefully that answered everybody's questions. But we've got to go. I really appreciate everybody on the call tonight. We've got another call that we should have been on over a half hour ago. So I'm going to close the call out for tonight. And again, welcome to the gentleman that Arnie referred over in Wisconsin or Minnesota. I forgot where you're from, but welcome. And please do not hesitate to ever give me a call. Reach out to me through these calls each and every week. We do these each and every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And for all the people that are on here and had conversations, this is why we do these calls each and every week. So the people can find the answers they're looking for, and better decision-making is always going to come from more information that you've had the exposure to sift through and understand and read. So better education creates usually much better outcomes as far as decision-making. So thank you all. Thank you, Dover, again. Appreciate all you do each and every week. And thanks, everybody, and I got to run.